We are starting a new series called Families Growing, Families Coping. The idea that normally you feel like you're doing one of the two of these things. Sometimes you're doing both at the same time, which I have no idea how that happens, but I know it feels like that sometimes. And so we're going to be handling topics over this during this series that deal with families that are growing, families that are coping, families that are struggling, families that want to take a step forward and kind of expand and broaden. And so we are kicking off the series with this message on love languages, things to say to your wife. We express our love in so many different ways. And this is called love languages, the different ways that we share our love. Before we dive into that, if I had all of the knowledge of like all of the smartest people of all of, you know, existence today, which could be possible, but if I had that, but I couldn't communicate that to you, that knowledge wouldn't do either of us a bit of good. So it's the same with the idea of love languages. If you have all the love that you do for your spouse, and you love them with every ounce of your heart, but you can't communicate that love, then that love really hasn't done anything for the relationship. So that's what love languages are for, to help us to learn how to communicate that. This is from a book, some of you might know it, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman. This guy's a Christian counselor. Great, great book. And he labels these five love languages on how to express your love for your spouse. So we're going to quickly run through these. I'll give you some hints. One of the things I love about this book is that he gives, at the end of each of the chapters that deal with each of the love languages, he gives some ways that we can do that, some ways that we can share those love languages. And I've included some of that into the message this morning to be able to give you guys some things there to go home with. Now, we are going to be connecting this to the Bible, connecting this to how we can live as Jesus in our world today. So just in case you are worried about that, because we're just going to be dealing with some stuff straight from the book for a little bit, that book, The Five Love Languages, but then we are going to be connecting it to it, because I know if you come to church as I would come to church, and I expect a message from God's Word, and I'm sitting here listening to a book report, I would be getting a little concerned. So I want to give you that up front so you don't have to worry about that, so you can actually pay attention for the first 15 minutes here as we take a look at these love languages. The first love language he mentions is words of affirmation. And this is also found in our Bibles as far as the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Our tongue has a power of life and death. Our words are very powerful. Another passage in Proverbs says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. So we understand words can lift up. Words can build us up. Words are very important for every one of us. But for some of us, it's our love language. Words of affirmation. It's how we best receive love. It's how we best give love. And that's through compliments, that could be words of encouragement, encouraging words, or kind words is another way of looking at those words of affirmation. Now, some different ways you can do this. First of all, as you have watched your spouse or you know your spouse, and if they're constantly giving compliments to other people, constantly giving compliments to you, constantly giving you kind words, or you've noticed that words are very impactful on them in their life, your spouse might have the top language of words of affirmation. If that's true, then you would want to start communicating your love more in a verbal sense or a written sense, somehow that uses words of affirmation. First of all, if your spouse has the words of affirmation, if that's one of their main love languages, if that's their primary love language, you as a spouse, that might not be your love language. You need to write for yourself a little 3x5 card and put it on your mirror somewhere where you're going to see it, that words are important, because to you they might not be. But if this is your spouse's love language, words are very important to them. So one of the things you can do is think of a kind thing to say to them once a day. Just one kind thing a day. They will add up. But if this is not the way you function on a normal basis, then you're going to have to work at it. Find one kind word to say to them, one kind thing to say to them each day. Or you could write them something. You could write them down. You could write them a little note. I know when I was on the road, my wife would do this. I would find notes in my musical equipment. I'd open a guitar case and pull out my guitar, and right under my guitar was a nice little note of encouragement. And it'd remind me of her and her love for me. And that wasn't even a top love language. It is a top love language. It's not my primary. But those were nice to find. So you can write a note. Guys, you can stretch yourselves. If your wife's love language is words of affirmation, try to write her a poem. Now, this isn't very easy for us guys. And guys, the women in our lives are very forgiving. So if you at least try, they're going to love that. And I tell you what, man, even if you get a single, or if you really get, if you hit a home run with it, these poems will pay dividends, all right? You heard it here in church. That's truth. Learn to write some poetry. Write some things. Write your feelings down. Leave a note for your wife. If that's her love language, then do that. Compliment them in front of friends and in front of family. And that scores like double points when it's in front of family, because you're building them up in front of their family, or in front of your family is even bigger. So if you're building them up in front of your parents, then you're making them look good in their in-laws' eyes, and that helps them to feel better. Look at your spouse's strengths and find things that you can compliment there. Look at the things that they're strong in and show them that you value their strengths by verbalizing it, by giving them words of affirmation. So that's the first one, it's words of affirmation. The second love language that Gary Chapman brings up in his book is quality time. Now, when you're looking at quality time, you want to learn to listen and to talk. And you're going to want to involve yourself in quality activities. Now, this quality activities that Gary says that you don't want to catch yourself watching TV and calling that quality time. You want to go out and do something that's going to stir up conversation. He says, you know, if your spouse, if their love language is quality time and they like to go to the symphony, then you go to the symphony with them. And I'm thinking, you know, if you go to the symphony with them, it's the same thing as sitting at home and watching TV, because you're not really talking, you're still watching something. But there's something about that that makes it different, and I have the ability to disagree with him if I want, and he's a whole lot more educated than me, so he's probably right. So quality activities where you're going to get together and do some things that will stir an opportunity for you to get to know each other. How to, you know, you can go for a bike ride or go for a walk either in your neighborhood or go for a walk in the park or ride your bikes in the park, and that stirs things up. That's quality time together. Call them and have lunch with them in the middle of your busy work week. Say, hey, I've freed up an hour, and I'd like to come out and have lunch with you. Do that. Spend some quality time with them. Plan a weekend getaway. Make a list of items that are important to them to do, things they like to enjoy doing, and make a plan to do them. Okay, the list doesn't. That's not enough. If you just make a list, that's not enough. You got to plan to do them. So you make a list and you find out some of those activities, and then you make plans. You say, okay, well, you like to go to the zoo. Well, we'll plan to go to the zoo this day. And you plan for it, and you go and you do it. And a very small thing, but it adds up over time, is to make time each day to listen about your spouse's day and tell them about yours. It's not enough just to listen. For those that their top love language is quality time, they want to spend time with you. So if you're just sitting there and you think, man, I'm the best listener in the world because I just let my wife just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's not quality time for people who that's their top desire. They want to hear about your day too. So if you're not quite the most verbal person, then try and find ways that you can tell them about your day, about things that have happened with you and how you felt about that, and be able to share some things there. Now, I do want to share something at this point that one of the things he talks about on these love languages is that in a language, any kind of language, you have different dialects. Like, you know, you take America, for instance, and you've got, you know, your New Yorkers all the way up in the northern part. But then you've got all the way down the southern part, you've got like Louisiana. Has anyone ever been to Louisiana? Okay. The women have sideburns down there. Okay. I remember we went through Louisiana, and it was just recently I'd seen a Waterboy. And, you know, the Adam Sandler movie, Waterboy. And you can't understand a thing they say in the movie. And that I thought this was accentuated. I thought there was, you know, a use of hyperbole. But when we got down to Louisiana, we stopped and we were asking to get from this place to that place. And I couldn't understand a word they were saying. I swear they were speaking English, but I had no clue what they were saying because the dialect was so different. And but we have different dialects in the same language. My top love language and my wife's top love language, after we got in this book and we took the test that's in it, we found out that we both shared the love language of quality time together, which I thought was bonus because then we don't have to learn a new language, but we had to learn each other's dialect, which is interesting because I want to bring up the two from now. We'll come back to that. So quality time. The next one is receiving gifts. Some people just like to receive gifts. Now, for my wife and I, quality time costs money when you want to go out on a date. You got the date. You got a babysitter now that we got kids. If our top love language was giving gifts, then we might take the money that we'd use on a date and give gifts. Okay, so you got to be creative, and you got to figure out which is most important, which is going to be the best way that you can communicate to your spouse, hey, I love you. Receiving gifts. Some people will receive gifts. That's their top love language, their primary love language. And there are different kinds of gifts. You can give gifts of stuff, or you can give gifts of self. Gifts of stuff are basic, flowers or chocolates or, different material things that you can give. But then gift of self is just giving yourself, just being there, being present. Some things you can do there is you can try to give a gift each week. Now, some of you are thinking, that's a lot of gifts. If your spouse's top love language is receiving gifts, it won't be too many gifts because that's their love language. That's how they hear you. That's how they understand you. And so if you give them a gift a week, 52 gifts a year at different times of the week or a different time of the day so they don't know when to expect it, then that can keep things going. Another suggestion that goes along with this is to keep a gift idea notebook. I thought this was pretty interesting. Is it when you hear your spouse say, if you know your spouse's top, and some you can look at this too, and you can say, my spouse likes to give things to other people. They love to give gifts. When their favorite time of the year is Christmas, and they like to give gifts, or birthday, and they like to give gifts, or just any time in the year that they can find an excuse to give a gift, they will give a gift, and they feel like that's how they express their love for someone else. You might want to take a clue on that and say, that might be their top love language because they like to speak it that way. And so when you look at that, you say, you know what? They can't get enough gifts. And listen to them when that happens or when you hear them say something about, hey, ooh, that would be neat. Take note of that. Write it down. Put it in your gift notebook as a reference. So that on weeks when you're running dry with ideas, you can go back to that and you can say, oh, well, 6 months ago, she saw this or he saw this and thought it would be neat to have. I'll go out and get it for him. And you don't have to go broke doing this either. Get creative. You can, pick up like a flower on your way in to the house that you're growing out in the natural area there, or a neighbor's flower. You might want to ask their permission first, but just any kind of an object and attach meaning to that object, and that can mean just as much as a bought gift or handmade originals. I remember, and I still see this from time to time. Sometime during our dating years, I made for my wife a origami flower out of a napkin at like a fast food restaurant or something. And it was just corny, just goofy, She still has that flower. We just moved last year, and I remember opening a box and seeing that little origami, ugly-looking napkin. And you wouldn't know that it was a flower if you looked at it. It just looks like a crumpled-up napkin. But it was my form of origami, and she kept it. So get creative. Different things like that. People who that's their top love language, when you're giving them a gift, it really is a thought that counts with them. I'm getting a gift. You thought about me. You wanted to communicate your love for me and to me. So offer the gift of self along with that. Let them know, hey, I am willing to be there for you at any time and any place. You name it. And I'll just be there. It's a little different than quality time because it's simply just the gift of you being there, the gift of your presence. Okay, and it might be something where your wife's going to take your child to their basketball game, and she says, it would be really important for you to be there. Take note of that. If that's her top love language, she's saying, I want a gift of you. I want the gift of self. I want the gift of your time. So there are different things that you can give beyond just physical things. So then the fourth one is acts of service. Very simple, not a whole lot of explanation required there, just acts of service, doing things for your spouse, for your house. What you can do here is you can make a list of things that you hear that your spouse requests or that they nag about and do them. They nag about them because it's important for them to have it done. And get over the nagging side of things, and the more you do, the less nagging there's going to be. So listen to that, take note of it, and kind of change it in your mind, okay? Don't hear them saying, you know, well, you just never do this. Change that in your mind to, I would hear you say, I love you so much if you would take the trash out once a week, all right? And change that in your mind so that you're hearing that, because that's really what they're trying to say. They're just not doing a good job of saying it when they're nagging about it. But make a list of things that you hear your spouse request or nag about, and find time, make time to do them. Ask your spouse to make a list for you. Now, that might not seem very romantic, but if their top love language is acts of service, then they're really going to appreciate this from you. That is going to be very romantic for them. You know, well, I can make a list for you? Yes, I'll do anything you want. Just make a list, and I'll make sure it gets done. So, and that's another thing in addition to that on this topic. If you have more money than you have time, then what you can do is you can pay people to do things on this list, and it still counts. All right? I've got a head shaking here. I don't know. Is that your top love language, is acts of service? No? Don't know? But she's shaking her head. She's like, yeah, that'll work. All of them. Yeah, yes, we do need to become proficient in all of them, but there is that primary one. Which I talked about dialects, the difference, you know, in the northern and the southern accents, and there's different dialects in those different languages. As I shared, my wife and I, it's quality time together. It's important to both of us, but we speak a different dialect. For me, quality time, I can drop anything and then sit down and watch something, or go out and play something, or go out and do something. I'm fine with that. My wife, on the other hand, for over 10 years of marriage, I thought her love language was acts of service. And that is because in order for us to get around to sitting down and doing something together or going out and playing, she has to have everything done first. The laundry has to be done. The dishes have to be done. The kitchen has to be clean. The vacuuming has to be done and all that. So I took that and I interpreted that as saying that's most important to her, when really it wasn't. It was a different dialect of quality time. She couldn't spend quality time until she knew all this stuff was done. So for years I tried to do some things to help her out. And it wasn't really communicating as well as I thought it should. Because I thought, you know, I got you nailed. This is your quality, or your language, love language, is to have acts of service. And I'm doing things for you, and it's still not communicating. But then I learned later, after we took the test, and that actually it's quality time. And her dialect is to get done all of that so she can spend quality time. And so you got to learn the dialect, okay? It'll be 13 years this December we've been married. And so we've picked up on this, and we're starting to learn each other's dialect. I thought, man, bonus. We have the same love language, but then you have the whole challenge of, oh, wow, completely different dialects of the same love language. So acts of service, if that is your top love language, then you want your spouse to know that. And if it is your spouse's, and you want to cater to that, you want to speak to them that way. You can ask your spouse, if I could do one act of service for you this week, what would be the most valuable to you? If you're really strapped for time, ask them which one would be the most valuable. How can I say I love you the most? All right. And the last one is physical touch. And this is a paraphrase from some things that were found in this chapter of the book. But I really like the idea behind this. And that is that everything that is me is in my body. My soul, my spirit, my emotions, my thinking. And when you touch my body, you touch me. I thought that described that idea of physical touch as a love language very well. So how do you do that? How do you participate in physical touch? Well, it's pretty simple. But just some pointers for you, because some of you might not be touchy-feely, and your husband or your wife might be. And you might not think about these things naturally. So some little pointers here. Hold hands in public. Or maybe just in the car when you're driving from one place to another, reach over and hold their hand, or put your hand on their knee. While eating, let your foot or your knee drift over and gently rest against your spouse's foot or knee. Just to let them know you're there. That extra touch, that presence. Give hugs. Short hugs, long hugs, just hugs. Hugs all the time. For someone, if that's their top love language, they're going to appreciate that. If your husband or your wife, they're sitting at the desk in the house and they're working through the checkbook and they're working through the bills, and their top love language is physical touch, just walk up behind them and give them a 5-minute shoulder rub. It's all just real simple. Real simple. Meet your spouse with a small kiss when they arrive home, or if you're the second one home, make sure you go straight to your spouse when you get home. Just give them a little peck, just a small little kiss. Little physical touches. Now, at this point, some of us, maybe more so guys than girls, are feeling a little overwhelmed. I'm thinking, man, this is a lot to take in. It's a lot to think about. I had to figure out my wife. I thought I had her figured out. And now you're saying that you had your wife figured out for 10 years, but you were wrong. And so what if I have made the same mistake? You know, calm down, because I found another book. And this book is encouraging to me. This book is called How to Talk to Girls. It's by Alec Greven. And right here we have the author. He was 8 years old when he wrote this book, 9 years old when it got published. And so I want to share with you, if an 8-year-old can get it, I think we can get it. Would you agree? All right. Hear that, or I'm going to put a lot of you guys in trouble here by sharing with you that an 8-year-old's getting it. All right. He says in many things, he says, this book is just truly precious. He says, many boys get crushes on girls, but it can be very hard to get a girl to like you. Sometimes it takes years. Tip: to get a girl to like you, talk to her and get to know her. Little guy's a little Casanova. He's got it. Okay, and in another chapter here, he talks about talking with a girl. He says, if you want to start a conversation with a girl, first you have to say something like, hi. If she says hi back, then you're off to a good start. My wife asked me if I had gotten some of the cartoons from this book, and I had not done that. But that's just a cute little story time here, little illustration there. He says, be friendly, act calm, don't be nervous, don't say anything mean. Ask her a question, and then you're off. Some good questions are, did you see that episode of blank? I heard you went to blank. What did you do? Okay, an 8-year-old. He talks about affirmation, encouraging words, and gifts in another section of his book. He says, it is good to give a girl compliments. Don't go crazy with them, though. Then you look like you're trying too hard. He's on it. Try to act normal. Many girls like flowers. It is also good to give gifts. They don't have to be big. Try to find out what she likes before you give her something. You should go around to her friends and get ideas. And I wouldn't do flowers and gifts until you were older, like in middle school. Because it seems weird in elementary school unless you go to a school dance. And another little quote from the book I'd like to share. He says, if you like a girl, and this goes along with the gift of giving yourself. Okay, he says, if you like a girl, comb your hair and don't wear sweats. You don't have to try too hard, but just try to look kind of clean. Tip, he's got tips throughout the book. And so his tip on this page says, your mom likes you to always be clean, and she is a girl. So, I encourage you guys, check that book out. It's really a great book. But if an 8-year-old can get it, then I think we can get it. I think we can do this. All right, I think we can learn the love languages of our spouse, take them into consideration. If you really want to communicate love, you got to learn their love language. You got to learn what their primary love language is. You got to learn their dialect, and you got to figure out some things that you can do. And it all begins by talking with them. Talk with your spouse, talk with your husband, talk with your wife. Now, some reflections on this topic as we land the plane here. I cannot wear out someone's love language. That's important to realize. I think for a lot of us, when we're looking at someone else's love language, like for instance, giving gifts, receiving gifts, someone that doesn't have the love language of receiving gifts, to them, one or two gifts is plenty. But to someone who that's their love language, you can't give them enough gifts because that's how they understand love. That's how they hear you say, I love you. It's through gift giving. Or someone that has words of affirmation, if that is their top love language, they can't stop hearing how encouraging you can be to them or how great they are in your eyes. You can't tell them enough how great they are. And not to give them a big head, but more understanding, that's their love language. They know that if you value them and you're communicating that to them day in and day out, then they are reminded of that and they feel that and they hear that love language. Now, for some of you who don't have that as a love language and that's not your primary love language, you get uncomfortable when you hear compliments. You don't like to hear it all the time. Once or twice is just fine. You can leave it alone after that. You have to understand, though, if it's your spouse's primary love language, you can't do it enough. You can't wear it out. I think that's a problem because sometimes we get our spouse's love language, but we don't want to wear it out. You can't, okay? You can't. If they have the love language of physical touch, they can't get enough hugs. They can't get enough holding of hands or little pecks on the cheek. They just can't get enough of it. Just give it all that you can, all that you can. So that's the first reflection on that. And the second reflection is connecting this in with church and the Bible. And why are we here in church hearing about this subject? Well, because Jesus loved and loves me using each of these five love languages. Gary Chapman did not invent the love languages. He just recognized them. He observed them in people. God is the author of the love languages. And as we look at Jesus' life, how Jesus loved and loves us with all five of these love languages. And you look at his the Bible, God's word. It is full of words of affirmation. It is full of encouraging words, lifting you up, letting you know, hey, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1. Right? Isn't it exciting? Actually, the whole chapter of Romans 8 is one big affirmation. It's just an encouragement. Or you read something in Scripture and it reflects on a decision that you've made earlier in the week and you realize that it confirms that you made the right decision. And that lifts you up and that encourages you and it keeps you going. In fact, the Holy Spirit, when you are baptized into Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. God lives inside of you. And one of his names is the Encourager. He is our Comforter. He's there to encourage you to bring words of affirmation into your life. Quality time. We just spent time, the musicians led us in a time of worship. God loves quality time with each and every one of us. It's what he longs for it. Time where we get a chance to set aside everything and just spend one-on-one time in prayer with God and studying his word, reading his word. At the job I had before I came up here, I worked at a computer or worked as a computer tech at a business. And I would go out and I would have lunch with God. That was my time with God. We just go out and have lunch together. And it was enjoyable. I loved it. And it was quality time with God. God enjoys quality time. Receiving gifts. I mean, just look at what he's done for you, for me. Material blessings that he's given to us. He's spoken loud and clear that he loves us through those things. And deeper and larger than that are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. The gifts that we can use to contribute to the kingdom, to contribute to his church. The gift of self. There's no greater example of the gift of self than Jesus Christ on the cross. Acts of service. In John chapter 13, Jesus kneels down and he washes the disciples' feet. an act of service. And we see God as we ask him through prayer, God, could you be with me at this point in time? Or could you help my loved one here? And God comes through for us and we see him answer those prayers in a way that we see him using an act of service in our life. And we know that God is communicating to us, I love you. I want to take care of you. Acts of service, physical touch. If you look through the Gospels of Jesus, as Jesus' story unravels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is constantly touching people. I believe even today, he touches us through other Christians. I think there are also those times when it's not so much of a physical, tangible touch, but we actually feel his touch on our life. And it's still touch. See, Jesus loved and continues to love us using each of these five love languages. It's not something original with Gary Chapman. It's not something that doesn't belong in church. It's something that absolutely belongs in church. And if this is how Jesus loved other people, then we ought to also love others that way. I should follow Jesus' example anytime I'm loving another person, spouse or not. After Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he says in verse 34 of John chapter 13, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. He says, love each other. How? As I have loved you. Jesus gave us the example of how we are to love other people. And as we categorize the way we can share love with other people, you can use the love languages here in church. You can use the love languages at work. When you see that people here in church or people at your work or people in your family, they've got a certain love language that rises to the top. If you've got someone at work that doesn't know Jesus and their top love language you recognize is acts of service, then when you do more stuff with them and for them at work, then you are being able to communicate the love of Jesus Christ in a language that they will understand and hear. Okay? If you got a guy out in the factory and you're working side by side with him, bringing him gifts probably will not communicate the right thing to your friend at the factory. Learn their love language. Find out what it is. Maybe it's words of affirmation. And just through the workday, you're encouraging them, letting them know, hey, you did a great job on that project. Or, you know, great job on this. Or that presentation went very well. You know, I thought you communicated well the product and you made it very clear what it did. Find things that you can do. And this can be a witness opportunity for you to be able to learn other people's love languages outside of just the marriage. This expands out into the church and out into your work world and into our ability to share the love that God has for other people with them. And when we see their love language and we start to recognize that, when we practice that, then we can communicate more clearly to them. And then we are loving others as Jesus has already loved us. We're taking his example. Which brings us back around to marriage. For my spouse, the best I can give is an imitation of the love that Christ has shown me. In Ephesians chapter 5, he starts this chapter off by saying, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Okay, you have been loved, so imitate that love. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, from that verse, he goes on and shares some other topics in chapter 5 of Ephesians, but then he comes to this subject of marriage at the end of chapter 5, and he closes out chapter 5 with this verse in verse 33. He says, however, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. After a section that talks about how our model relationship between a husband and wife is the model relationship between Christ and the church. So learn your spouse's love language. Because husbands, we are mandated, according to Scripture, to love our wives. So learn your wife's love language and love her the best you can, husbands. Wives, you're mandated by Scripture to respect your husband. Respect your husband enough to learn what language best communicates to him about how much he means to you. And speak that language. Where family's growing and where family's coping. Learn these love languages. Imitate the love that God has shown to you through Jesus Christ. And love others. Specifically this morning, love your spouse.